seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend, Mark Gordon, disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
We're back today with an extra episode as more of the closing speeches are taking place at the Old Bailey in this trial of Constance Martin and Mark Gordon. As we said yesterday, these closing speeches signal the end of this trial is imminent. This is the last opportunity for the barristers in the case to address the jury, to convince them that what they say happened is true. Yesterday, we brought you the words of prosecutor Tom Little KC as he reminded the jury of the evidence that he says proves the couple are guilty of the charges they face. Today, Jack will have the details of the closing speech of Mark Gordon's barrister.
Yes, so Tom Little spent about 5 hours addressing the jury, and then it was the turn of John Femiola KC, who represents Mark Gordon. He said Constance Martin and Mark Gordon were an unlikely couple and her family had not approved of their relationship and even been embarrassed that she had children with Mark Gordon.
He described Constance Martin as a lioness, a woman who would not be pushed around by a barrister, a woman who loved her children.
He asked why the couple had 34 burner phones if they were not paranoid about the behaviour of Constance Martin's family.
And he accused police of misleading Mark Gordon during his interview about what Constance Martin had told them, making him fearful to give his story.
Welcome to episode 20. It was a tragic accident.
So as we said, today we're going to focus on the words of John Femiola as he addressed this jury. A jury that we should add is now made up of 11 people and not 12, because a few weeks ago we lost a member of the jury and the judge decided to carry on with 11 members. But just before we get to John Femiola's closing speech, we just need to bring you a few of the final words from Tom Little, who's prosecuting this case and who we focused on yesterday. Now, he wanted to talk about one of the most contentious elements of this trial. Now, that's the dispute about when Victoria was born and how old she was when she died. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon insist she was born in Northumberland on Christmas Eve in 2022, but the prosecution say she was born later. Now, Mr. Little said Constance Martin wanted to create a misleading impression about when Victoria was born, and he told the jury it was far better for Constance Martin to say that the baby had been born somewhere where they'd been for some time rather than when they were on the move.
He then returned to Constance Martin's suggestion that Joel Smith KC had been patronising towards her when he was carrying out his cross-examination. and he highlighted the language she had used about the two men who stopped to help them at the side of the M61 when their car burst into flames. These were father and son, Ken and Jack Hudson, and you'll remember Ken told the court that he put his hand on Victoria's head and said, "God bless, keep safe," as he left them that night. He said it was an image he was unable to forget.
Constance Martin was keen to suggest on a number of occasions that Mr. Smith's tone was patronising. It's funny how some people aren't very good at looking in the mirror. What did she refer to the Hudsons as? Random workmen. That, you may think, suggests an obvious sense of a misunderstanding, an almost upstairs-downstairs mentality. Is it she who is patronising, or is it Mr. Smith?
He said it was undoubtedly the case that Ken Hudson was an honest witness when he said he touched the baby's head that night, something Constance Martin insisted was not true. Mr. Little said Mr. Hudson had no agenda and no reason to lie, and that it was another small lie in a constellation of lies in this case by Constance Martin.
To illustrate this, he then turned to the evidence of the man who picked them up that night near the motorway and took them to Bolton. He said his wife had been told by Constance Martin that her car had broken down. This, Mr. Little said, might be thought to be the understatement of the century, considering the inferno that was taking place.
This is perhaps a good example of not something we would say is a big fat lie, to use my terminology, but it's similar. It's when there is a grain of truth and 99 grains of falsity. And that is the idea that in 2022 and 2023, there were some Mission Impossible-style private investigators swooping out of the sky and coming from nowhere to detonate vehicles. It's fantastical. It's mythical. It didn't happen. You know from the agreed facts, there were no private detectives in 2022 or 2023. It's a sign of a good fraudster sometimes. She latches onto an aspect of truth somewhere, twists it and warps it.
Now, another lie, Mr. Little said, was when Constance Martin pretended not to know that Liverpool had a port until she realised this was problematic because when she went to Ireland, she'd used that port.
She has caught herself out. One of the problems when you tell so many lies is that no matter how intelligent you are, they will ultimately catch you out.
He then highlighted a small piece of evidence which he said the jury may have missed, but was important. This was the suggestion that when the couple were staying in hotels after the birth of baby Victoria, Mark Gordon had slept either on the floor or on a sofa to let mother and baby have the bed. Mr. Little suggested that he would not have done this unless he was concerned about the safety of the baby in the bed. He said the jury were being asked to believe that this approach just went out of the window when they got to the tent. Again, he urged them to apply cool logic and sound common sense.
So next, Mr. Little went through each of the witnesses who saw the couple while they were on the run, and he explained why their evidence was what he called trustworthy. One of the witnesses, he said, who provided particularly important evidence was Dale Gosling. Now, you might remember, this was the man in Harwich who saw the couple with the baby crying with such distress he felt he couldn't walk away. Now, he went over to the couple and he offered them a lift to the hospital before he then suggested that they should come back to his house for a cup of tea, despite the fact that he told the jury his wife would have done her nut if they had come back for that cup of tea. Now, Mr. Little reminded the jury that Mr. Gosling had said Constance Martin looked like a woman who'd just given birth. Now, by this point, he said, it had been 10 days after December the 24th, which he said raised further doubts about when Victoria had been born. Mr. Gosling said that throughout his encounter with the couple, the baby was screaming. Mr. Little said Mr. Gosling had absolutely no reason to be anything other than truthful about what he saw.
Several clips of CCTV were also played to the jury. Most importantly, the clip of the couple dumping the buggy shortly after buying it in East London. It was at this point, you might remember, that the prosecution alleged baby Victoria was put into the bag for life, a claim that has always been strongly contested by Constance Martin. Mr. Little said the couple can be seen carrying the bag for life after they dumped the buggy, and it can now be seen containing the puffer jacket that Constance Martin had been wearing moments earlier.
Where is baby Victoria if she is not in that bag for life? covered as she had just been covered when she was in the German Doner kebab shop. Please, don't fall for the "we never put a baby in a bag" line.
Now, this was a point he made again when CCTV showed the couple walking towards the South Downs in New Haven, Sussex. Constance Martin said Victoria must have been getting carried by Mark Gordon at that point, but Mr. Little said from the footage the baby is simply nowhere near Mark Gordon's jacket, and he had not given evidence to clear up where she was.
Now, another witness Mr. Little said was particularly important was a woman called Sarah Hidden. She was the witness who said she thought she saw the couple in Seaford near the Seven Sisters Cliffs in Sussex in mid to late January. Now, she said she walked past them and it appeared that the woman was carrying something in the way you might carry a baby under a jacket. She then spotted a blue tent pitched nearby, and it was this same witness who said around the same time she was woken up on two consecutive nights by the sound of a baby crying coming from the direction of the grounds of a golf club near to her house. Now, crucial to this sighting, Mr. Little said, was the fact that a receipt for Seaford Golf Club was found in a bag in the shed with Victoria's body in March. And he reminded the jury that in the days before they were arrested, the couple were also seen on CCTV scavenging for food in bins at another golf club.
Most importantly, is what she heard in the days before she saw the couple. This was extremely unusual and it woke her. Where she lives is mostly old people. It has never happened before and it never happened again. That is important. This was something out of the ordinary. The sound of the baby crying on the first night was coming from Seaford Head Golf Course, 1 minute from her home. You know the significance of the link between scavenging at golf clubs and the receipt for that very golf course. Of all the golf clubs on the South Coast, it just happens to be the one right next to where Sarah Hidden lives and from where she heard the sound of a baby crying.
So after going through all this witness evidence in the case, Mr. Little asked the jury to consider a claim that Constance Martin had made about baby Victoria's clothes. She said that she had thrown away many of the clothes after she died. She said this was why police did not find all the warm clothes she claimed she had for her.
If baby Victoria died in the way described by Constance Martin, why on earth would a parent not want to keep every item of clothing that they still have that the little baby wore? It is all they would have left of them.
As he finished his speech, Mr. Little talked the jury through each count on the indictment. He said the defendants had offered no defence to count one, concealing a birth, or count five, perverting the course of justice, which, he said, could be dealt with fairly swiftly, leaving the jury to grapple with that confetti tissue of lies of Constance Martin.
Strip away the bluster. Focus on the aspects of the evidence that you find reliable, namely those decent people that encountered this couple in the days that follow their disappearance, and that zip on that tent is opened up. Baby Victoria died of hypothermia. There is no good reason why Constance Martin would tell lie after lie about the sub-zero sleeping bag, the baby camo jacket, and the mythical extra baby grows. She did not have enough clothing to keep herself warm, and baby Victoria died as a result. As night follows day, that is truly exceptionally bad on the part of each of those sitting in the dock, and it is why you should bring back a verdict of guilty in relation to gross negligence manslaughter.
We'll take a quick break there.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So as we said at the top of this episode, it was then the turn of the defence to start on their closing speeches. And first up was John Femiola KC for Mark Gordon. Now, he started by addressing head on the criticism that Tom Little had made of the defence expert, Professor Fleming. Now, he read out at length Professor Fleming's experience, and he reminded the jury that he even has a CBE in relation to his work on the death of infants. Professor Fleming had told them that no one in the country has more experience than him investigating the circumstances of a baby's death.
So the reason for Mr. Little's attack, he said, was because the evidence of Professor Fleming undermined three crucial charges against the defendant. Count 2, child cruelty. Count 3, causing or allowing the death of a child. And count 4, manslaughter by gross negligence. His words are voiced by an actor.
You saw him give evidence over a number of days in that witness box. We sat and watched the extraordinary, brutal, nasty and downright rude cross-examination of that man, Professor Fleming, you may think. And why? Why? Because he told you that he could find no evidence in all the material that he examined that hypothermia was the cause of death. He was cross-examined as gullible, as irresponsible, and... did you know that he even used the wrong declaration? He used a civil one instead of a criminal one. What was being suggested about that man? You see, the case on counts 2 to 4 were heading for a complete crash, and the only thing left was to attack Professor Fleming in the way that he was attacked.
Mr. Femiola then turned to how the couple had been portrayed by the prosecution at the start of the trial.
In opening this case, she and her partner, Mark Gordon, were described as callous and cruel. That woman you saw in the witness box over a number of days, ask yourself, in all honesty, is callous the first image that comes into your mind? The name Constance is rooted in Latin. Constania, it means steadfastness, resolute, faithful, loyal, dedicated, and perseverance, no matter what the obstacle. That is against the background of a woman with 5 children. You heard her evidence. Posh but polite, you may think. Calm and intelligent. She was steadfast under cross-examination, you may think. She was resolute, you may think. And her deep, deep love for her children, you may think, overflowed. She is a strong woman. She's not a person to be pushed around by any man, partner or barrister. She was not easily for turning. She has a strong mind of her own. As you watched and listened to her, you may think she's a lioness, talking about her children like her cubs. She loved them.
Mr. Femiola reminded the jury how the unlikely couple had met in a shop in Tottenham in North London before travelling together in Latin America. He said her family did not approve and were even embarrassed that she'd had children with Mark Gordon. And he pointed out evidence that Constance Martin's mother had engaged a private detective for 2 weeks in 2016 and her father had used a private detective between 2017 and 2021.
Mr. Little made the point this morning that it doesn't continue in 2022 and 2023. But let's just fast forward for a moment. When the couple's car exploded on the M61, there were 34 burner phones recovered. This was in January 2023. She told you that her mail and phone had been hacked. She had burner phones to prevent her being traced by private detectives. 34 burner phones. What's going on? Why does she have 34 burner phones in January 2023? It's a matter for you if what she said about members of her family is proved.
He then went back in time to when the couple had been living with their eldest children. He said there was no suggestion they were drug addicts or alcoholics, nor that at any point during the first few years of their lives that they were neglected. He said there was an incident in November 2019 when Constance Martin said she fell from a window. Now, she had maintained it was an accident, but the family court judge later concluded it was an incident of domestic violence.
Wardship, family proceedings, the children taken away. Just imagine, put yourself in their shoes. Because as you put yourself in someone's shoes, you're able to understand. Nobody's asking for sympathy, but empathy.
So then Mr. Femi Ola addressed the issue of the so-called secret pregnancy and the dispute over when Victoria was born. Now, he said that despite everything Mr. Little had claimed about the evidence suggesting that she was born later than Christmas Eve, the jury had to consider what they heard from the owner of the Northumberland cottage where the couple had stayed over that period.
She spoke about the state of the cottage. In the washing machine were the quilt cover, sheets and the mattress cover from the main bedroom, which had been washed. We both thought this was peculiar, that a guest would put sheets into the wash. Why were the sheets and cover put into the wash? Had she had a baby? Constance Martin has told you she had a baby in the main bedroom. She squatted against the bed, do you remember? That is why the cleaning process of the bedsheet and the quilt took place. What other reason can there be? She told you, why should I lie about where Victoria was born? We submit that baby was full term and she was born in the beautiful Northumberland countryside at Christmas.
Addressing the suggestion that Constance Martin should have registered her pregnancy in some way, Mr. Femiola asked the jury to recall the evidence of Dr. Ehsan Rafiq. Now, he is the GP who spoke about the growing trend of home births and the legal obligations on a woman.
Why didn't the Crown tell you that a woman has an absolute right, absolute autonomy over her own body, regardless of whether she is pregnant or not? If she is pregnant and she is of sound mind, a woman can choose not to register her pregnancy. She can choose not to have antenatal care. She can choose not to have postnatal care. She can choose where and when to give birth. It's her choice. It's not unlawful.
Now, he also pointed out that the couple had successfully delivered some of their older children at home with no medical assistance.
Now, at this point, he went back to the issue of those burner phones and the couple's car bursting into flames on the day they went on the run. And he reminded them it wasn't the first car of theirs to break down after Victoria had been born.
On the trip south, what happens? The first car breaks down, apparently irretrievably. If you're already paranoid about her family, the media, the social services, you've got burner phones, and the first thing that happens on the way down with a new baby is that your car breaks down. Never mind, let's buy another one. So 2 days later, they buy another one, and it explodes on a motorway. Can you imagine the mindset? You've got a list of all the things they had in that car, and they fled. They fled in haste, they fled in fear, and they fled in terror. Why do I say that? Everything is left behind. Money, I think about £2,000, all the clothing, all the possessions, a cat, all left behind. Why? Why? Because Constance Martin told you they were going to take the baby away from her. They wanted to protect the baby, be with the baby. It is a coincidence, but look at what must be going through their minds. Just think about that. The key to it is the burner phones. The other child is going to be taken away, so they fled, leaving all their possessions behind, grabbing just what they had.
Now, Mr. Femiola then reached what is probably the central point in his closing speech. It concerned Constance Martin being seen on CCTV on January the 12th, going to buy some petrol from a Texaco garage. At this point, you'll remember, she says baby Victoria was dead, and she was buying petrol because they were considering cremating the body.
We say the key, the real key, is that bottle of petrol. Why would the bottle of petrol be bought on January 12th, at a time at that petrol station when the baby's not with them? It's the only time on CCTV you do not see the baby. When that bottle of petrol was bought, the baby had died in the circumstances described. It can be the only explanation. There was a suggestion floated, whistling in the wind, that the reason was to light some sort of fire. But the reason? I was in India and I saw a cremation and I thought about doing it to Victoria, but I couldn't make myself do it. If that is so, that the baby died before that petrol was bought, what about all those sightings?
So he initially focused on the sighting we mentioned earlier in the episode in Seaford involving Sarah Hidden, who saw the couple first on the coastal path and then heard the crying at night. Now, Mr. Femiola said Sarah Hidden claimed the man was taller than the woman and the woman was carrying body bags and a rucksack. What's happened to these bags? Mr. Femiola asked. So to illustrate his point about the eyewitness accounts, Mr. Femiola quoted from a passage from Alice in Wonderland.
Alice laughed. There's no use trying, she said. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why? Sometimes I've believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast. I have believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast. If the petrol was bought on January the 12th, that baby was dead. It's impossible. It is impossible, we submit.
So Mr. Femiola then sought to counter some of the criticisms that Mr. Little had made of Mark Gordon, his refusal to fully cooperate with police interviews and his decision not to give evidence. This despite claiming he had made more than 100 references to juries in his police interviews. So he took the jury to the transcripts of the interviews and he highlighted what he described as two big, fat, misleading matters that police had provided to Mark Gordon about the account Constance Martin had supposedly given to them. The first, he said, was that Constance Martin had told officers that the baby had died when she was 3 days old. The second was that Constance Martin had supposedly told officers that they had both fallen asleep on top of the baby.
Constance never said that in her interview. She never said the baby was 3 days old in her interview. She said the baby died 3 days after the explosion. So you can imagine.
Mr. Femiola said those two misleading statements were never corrected during the interviews.
Imagine, put yourself in his shoes. So if he's saying to the officer 100 times that he was going to save his testimony for the jury, you can see why. Because otherwise you may think he will throw his partner under the bus. Think about it. What's he supposed to do?
Mark Gordon then said in the interview when asked what had happened, she said what occurred, kind of, barring a few things, which Mr. Femiola said was correct.
What's the point in contradicting her? There's no point, is there? However it looks moving forward.
Mr. Femiola then quoted from the description Mark Gordon gave to the police about the car exploding, reminding them about what he'd said earlier about their mindset.
It seems like the car exploded for some reason. The burner phones, the paranoia, the mindset. It seems the car exploded for some reason. It was strange, the strangest thing ever. It was just like smoking, then it blew up. I just thought demolition. The car just exploded. I thought demolition, smoke and fire and whoosh. As I said, of course, it must just be a coincidence, but it's the effect it has on them.
Turning to the circumstances of baby Victoria's death, Mr. Femiola said that both Constance Martin's account in evidence and Mark Gordon's account to the police were consistent. He had been asleep when Constance Martin awoke to find the baby dead. He said he would leave Constance Martin's barrister, Francis Fitzgibbon KC, to deal with much of the details surrounding the baby's death, but he did say this.
We submit this is not a case of a baby being smothered by a mother. It's a tragic accident. It was an accident. It happened and it can happen. It can happen anywhere when a mother and baby are together. Do you remember Dr. Rafiq told you there are 149,000 babies going to sleep with their parents every single night in this country? 149,000 co-sleeping. We submit that sleeping with a baby does not amount to neglect. It is not unlawful. The law applies to each person equally, and even this unlikely couple. The 11 of you that remain on this jury are here to bring common sense and knowledge of the world to bear on this case. Victoria was in her mother's arms. It was a tragic accident. One can only imagine the sheer terror they must have felt when they discovered their beautiful daughter had passed.
He then directly addressed Mark Gordon's decision not to give evidence. He said it was linked to the fact that Mark Gordon's name appeared first on the indictment, which meant he had to give evidence before Constance Martin. And so he questioned why was Mark Gordon the first name on the indictment?
Constance Martin said the baby died in her arms, and they say now that she is the principal person responsible. Because you can see from the interview that was based on two massively misleading vital points, you can imagine. What was he to say? Bearing in mind the interviews, it's a matter for you.
He said there was a reason the Crown said the baby died a lot later, because it made it easier to frame her death as a case of cold stress. But he said it was too early. It was an accident. It was not, he said, a case of a callous and cruel mother. They wanted to do everything to keep the baby with them.
If it is right that he was asleep, how could he have stopped this happening? We submit that the correct verdict in this case is one of not guilty.
So that's it for today. We'll be back with the closing speech of Francis Fitzgibbon KC, the barrister for Constance Martin.
Constance Martin and Mark Gordon deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child, child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
You can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.